All right.
Woohoo! Today is Thursday, March 3rd. This is interviewer Lynn Downey, and I am talking with Dallas Rusty Gant in his office at the Rancho de los Caballeros Dude Ranch in Wickenburg.
Perfect.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, we're going to start all the way back in your past. Tell me where you were born, where you grew up, went to school, all that good stuff.
I should be an Arizona native. Technically, I was not, because my mom was brought me to term in Arizona and went back to Milwaukee to have me because she was an Rh negative. I'm probably too detailed here, but I was back in Wickenburg as soon as I could travel. So I was born in Milwaukee, was raised here, usually most of in this house here. This was our living room.
Where we are right now, you
exactly. Were in your offices. There's a fireplace. And
wow.
We had one of the first TVs that was over there, and of course, this wall wasn't here. We had the dining room over here, but this is our house. So.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. So, you came back here because your parents were already
in Wickenburg.
Yeah. Tell me how they made their way here.
Dad was born in Oklahoma, and he came west to Arizona because of his asthma. And he started in Phoenix. He worked for the Camelback Inn in the old days for Jack Stewart. And he came up and worked for the Burdens at Bermuda. And then in the summertime, one summer, the Burdens went back to Santa Fe to run the Bishop's Lodge there, and Dad went with them. To help him, and that's where I met my mom, she was from Milwaukee, and she came out to Santa Fe for school, and she came after school, she hung around Santa Fe for the summer, and worked for my dad at Bishop Lodge, so that's how that happened.
And tell me your parents' names for the reporter.
Dallas Gant, mm-hmm. of course, and Edie or Edith C. Gant, and her name was Cortine was her name. And Dad, of course, I'm a junior, obviously, but I've always been rusty because of the hair. So.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Do you think? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So how did this place get started?
Dad started working for the Burdens, and then after a while he was the manager, and while he was there at Bermuda Ranch, he met two gentlemen that used to come and stay at the ranch. Their name was Squire McGuire and Boff Howard, and McGuire wanted to put some money in Wickenburg, and he was in the oil business in Michigan. And so they put this thing together, the three of them, to build the ranch in the late 40s. It was started probably in 45, right after the war. Mm-hmm. And Dad was a working partner, and they put all the money in, and they built it. And it opened in 48, December of 48. And that history right there tells everything about us and the ranch, if you want to take a copy.
Oh, I would. Thank you.
For a backup.
Oh, this is awesome. So I'm getting a copy of 50 Years Under the Sun Sea, the story of Rancho de los Caballeros.
Right.
Where did the name come from? Thank you.
Well, of course, it's a ranch of the gentleman on mm-hmm. horseback, because mm-hmm. a caballero is a horseman, mm-hmm. not a cowboy. And the Grand, which is Sun Sea, it was, you can see it right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see it all over the ranch.
Because that's one for each partner, and that was the Sun Sea, Sun Country. And that's the rising sun, that's the sun on the horizon. And so they thought up those brands, and that's a real brand for horse and cattle, so. And the ranch, I don't know where they came up with the the name of the ranch, but they thought that was classy. So, well, when they were starting it up, they didn't want to be another dude ranch. It was a little bit more of a resort, even in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now you can kind of tell it's really not an old-timer dude ranch, yeah. But it's, of course, 65 years later, it's a little bit different. But anyway.
Well, you know, you change with the times.
Oh, yeah.
Was it also a working ranch, horse and cattle ranch?
We've always had, pretty much down to the years, we've had some cattle, but it's a sideline,
mm-hmm.
right? It's hard to do make any money on cattle any place,
yeah.
especially in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little more about you. So where did you, obviously you grew up here in Wickenburg. Tell me
right.
about your school days. Which school did you go to?
Well, I went to grade school in Wickenburg, 8 years.
Is that the one that's over where Bash's is now, behind the schoolhouse?
My first grade was in that red schoolhouse.
Wow.
Yeah, they had first grades classes and right in that same building, and I was in one of them.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then, of course, then they had some other buildings that are all torn down now, but I was there for 8 years.
Wow.
And then my folks thought I should know where our guests were coming from. So they want me to go east to school. So they put me in a prep school, and a Choate school in the Wallerton, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where JFK went. Of course, a little ahead of me, of course. But that's
a famous school,
right? And boy, that was hard work to get up to speed on that. But I was there for 4 years. And, of course, in those days, we used to go up to Wyoming to run another ranch in the summertime.
So, oh, what was it called?
A-Bar-A Ranch.
Oh.
In Encampment, Wyoming.
So you closed down here in the summers?
Right.
And then went up to Wyoming. Huh.
In the older days, we used to open the middle of, like, the 15th of November, and we usually closed about the 15th of April after Easter.
Hmm.
And now we open about the first weekend in October, and we close usually the second or third weekend in May.
Oh.
But we're still seasonal.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. One of the few that still does. But anyway,
wow.
The golf course is open fall year, all year, and we run the food and booze up there, but everything here is shut down.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Yeah. So when you were at school here in Wickenburg, how did you get to school from here, all the way out here?
Usually mom or dad would take us down, because my sister was 4 years younger than me, so she had to go to school as well. And we had another family or two that lived on the ranch, and they had some kids, and they would switch off. You know, one of them would take them down. The bus didn't come this far. It went right where they stopped the stational is on 60.
Mm-hmm.
It turned around there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's quite a trek.
So they said, you know, as long as you got in the car, you might as well take them all the way down.
Yeah.
And then, but they would get off the bus at right there and start walking. And of course, they'd come pick us up. But we never walked very long. But that was the end of the bus ride. So, and then let's see, yeah. And now the bus still doesn't come in here. They used to, but anyway, that's how it worked.
Did you get a sense that you were different from the other kids because you lived on a working ranch? How was that?
Well, you know, of course, the kids would come and see all the grass and flowers and all the nice stuff, and of course, you know, it didn't make as much money as everybody thought it did, but it always looked good, you know, because that's what you have to do. And, of course, we lived right here. And, of course, we have a whole bunch of friends that would come with their parents and stay here. So I had all kinds of friends, you know, for a couple of weeks at a time. And then my friends that I went to school with. And kids are kids. Yeah, that's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
but it was a little different.
Yeah.
Of course, I couldn't go down. I didn't have too many friends in town because I couldn't get down to see them. I mean, obviously, you know, my mom would take us down there, or they would bring somebody else. And we always, it was no problem. Mm-hmm. It was always, I mean, we're only four miles. It was not the end of the world. I could take my bike down there.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have, what kind of chores did you have to do around the ranch?
Really not that much, because you have plenty of staff to do the stuff because they needed to do their job when I was in school. Mm-hmm. So that didn't work too well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a weekend off at Thanksgiving, about 10 days at Christmas, and maybe another weekend at Easter, and that was it. In those days, because you didn't start until after Labor Day, and you were done by the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now everything's different. You have more vacations, and the year goes a little bit longer mm-hmm. for the kids. But.
So even when you were growing up, you did the Wyoming
yes.
trek in the summer?
Yeah, we were there for 10 years, 53 mm-hmm. to 63.
Oh, wow.
And we worked for the owners that had it up there, and that was another working ranch, but it had a good dude ranch as well with it, about the same size as this. And we would take, you know, the staff, there's a few of the cooks and the chef and his office staff, we would take them up all year round so they would stay with him. But the rest of the kids, the rest of the staff were probably just kids for the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was a blast growing up there. I mean, we were there in Wyoming, and when it was hot here and come back, it was nice. You know, it was perfect. Yeah, it was a good life. It really was.
Well,
yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a little different, but it's it was a good grown up. Mm-hmm. What little I have done, it was good place. We still go up there to see it. It's a nice place up there.
Oh, sure. I love Wyoming.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is in southeast corner, just right on the Colorado line, west of Larrabee. The little town was called Encampment. You can find it, but it's just a little bitty time.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, we ran it for 10 years for the guy that had it then, Andy Anderson, and then they sold it to Gates Rubber in 62, and they still have it. They had three ranches. They bought three ranches together.
Huh.
They have a whole bunch of land and three ranches, and then we ran it one season for them, and then they brought their old people in. So.
Huh. When you were in school, was there an ethnic mix? Did you have a lot of like Hispanic students in the class?
Oh, yeah. It was no big deal. Mm-hmm. We had no blacks,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of Spanish, but that's Mexicans, we used to call them mm-hmm. then. And it was just more kids, you know, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. What about any Native American kids?
Not that I can remember.
Oh.
They're a little too far south for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember any of those. Of course, I'm sure there's some mixtures that I didn't know about, but you know, like I said, we're just kids, so we didn't care.
What about, I know you said that you didn't get into town as much, but did you participate in a lot of community, you know, events when you were younger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were part of the town. You know, I was not a big athlete, so I didn't play all those games like the other kids did, but it was not because I were up here. I was not interested in those. Just different, I guess.
So Choate was your high school years?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you do after you came back from Choate?
Of course, Dad wanted me to go to college in Stanford. My grades weren't quite good enough to get in there. And I decided... My folks made a deal. They said, if you'll stick it out at Choate for 4 years, you can go wherever you want to for college.
Wow.
And they figured that by that time, they can control us anyway. So that was a pretty good setup, I thought. And I got accepted a couple places in California, and I decided to come to ASU. Now, I still have some friends from from Wickenburg that were going to SU, and may have had something to do with it. And actually, it was a good idea because Dad passed away in my second year there.
Oh.
So I had used to come up after that almost every weekend to help around with Mom to get it going, so or keep it going.
How long did you stay at ASU?
4 years.
Okay.
I majored in general business.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be a. I was interested in being a businessman, but I didn't know how, really. I had no idea. Like a typical kid, I didn't want to come back and work for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's what happens.
How did that decision get made? Or did you just sort of flow into it?
Well, like I said, Dad passed away in my second year, and then I was up to help Mom. And, of course, at the end of the 4 years, it was big-time graft things at that time. And I got out of grass because of my asthma and some other stuff that really doesn't affect me now. And Mom says, well, she says, if you're not going to come back and help me run this, I'm going to sell it. I said, I don't want that to happen. I said, well, I can come back and do it for a couple of years, and I can do what I want after that. Well, that never happened. I'm still here. So. Am I... graduated in 69, so I've been here. Started that summer, I've been here ever since.
Wow.
Worked for my mom for about a couple years, and then she got remarried, and I was on my own.
Hmm. Did she stay in the area? Or?
Yeah, she had a house on the ranch. This is our old house, and of course, she built a new one up where the houses are up there, and I took over this little house. And then she went back to Maryland in the summertime with her new husband.
Hmm.
I mean, both of them came out in the wintertime, so that worked out.
How much of what we see today here is left from those original late 40s?
This house, mm-hmm. most of the, about half of the cabins are the original ones.
Mm-hmm.
The main building is, it's been redone, but it's pretty much the same, especially if you went into the living room, that's pretty much all original in there. And I can tell you, if I show you, I can tell you what the changes have been. But, the pool's the same. We started with 40 rooms, now we're to 80. And, of course, more dining room, no bar, no everything. And, of course, we have staff quarters. So everything has changed. And everybody says, it still feels like the old place. I guess that's a good thing. I don't know, sometimes.
I think that's a good thing.
I like old stuff. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's hard to come up with these new reports. I mean, my goodness, they're doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
At its peak, I think there's something like 7 dude ranches in Wittenberg peak, and you're one of the two that are left and still running in Wittenberg.
Right.
What do you think is your what's the word I want? What's your secret for longevity?
Well, there were 7 ranches, and the Burdens were about the same size as us in the beginning. And they had too many family try to live off one little operation. And I used to say you have to put a room a year to keep up with overhead. And the other places, had made 20 rooms, 25 rooms, and they just got too small and they couldn't make it. And the Flying E, of course, that was Wellig's, and of course, that was a hobby for her. For Vi, it never made any money, but they have a whole bunch of land over there. And George says, that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we had put more rooms as we went along, and then after the 90s, we kind of stopped doing that, and now we're kind of behind the eight ball right now. We need to get, we have to make more rooms to make the same money. And of course now I'm almost 70, and I don't know if I want to risk the money to put more rooms in. We'll see.
Wow.
Stay tuned.
As they say. When you went back to Choate, what kind of a culture shock was that for you?
Well, it wasn't that bad because I knew all the kids that used to come from that area. I mean, that was in Connecticut, but they're all a whole bunch of preppies that used to come out here with their family. So I knew what I was getting into, but you know, I've always been in jeans, and of course they said, you're not going to see any jeans, you'll have khakis, you'll have to do this, you have to do that. Of course, by the time you're back there, everybody's in jeans. It was no big deal. But in Choate, you have to do a coat and tie for all classes, and you can only do jeans in the afternoon, and you had to do a sport. It was altogether different. And of course, I was on honor roll probably 7 out of the 8 years here. I thought I was pretty special. I found out that I was way behind when I got back there. Really, I didn't know what they were talking about on most of these classes. And finally, I had to go to see my counselor, and I says, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get all this stuff. And he says, well, you stored pretty well. And I said, well, maybe I had a little help. Of course, they wanted me because I was from Arizona. There's only 2 of us in there for Arizona. There was 500 kids there. You know, so they want somebody from other than Connecticut and New York and that. So they took me. And they says, well, maybe you'll have to come for summer school or drop back a year. And I said, that ain't going to happen. I said, yeah, I'm not going to take any more time here than I have to. And they said, okay, well, we can do this and this. And, you know, after about a year, I kind of caught up a little bit. And, you know, when you're kids, it's easy to do kind of stuff. But it was hard. It was really something. You know, those kids had been in private school before they got there, and I didn't. And, you know, anyway, you can tell the difference. And when I got to ASU, I was ahead of everybody else at least a year.
Wow.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You get teased, or was this the, oh, here's the cowboy from out west kind of teasing?
A little bit.
Yeah. How'd you respond to that?
I was there again. It's no big deal. At the time, I didn't think it was a big deal because it was not the kids, it was the masters. And most of them had never been west of the Huskin. Of course, I thought teachers should know what was going on, and obviously they didn't. You know, because they're just teachers. Those days, you know, the kids, you thought they knew everything, but obviously. They used to tease me all the time about the Pony Express, you know, how do you get your mail, all that. And, you know, of course, I got used to it, and then after a while, it didn't make any difference. You know, I said, well, have you guys been out there? No. I said, well, I understand that. We have a few people from California, of course. That was different. That was the coast over there. But in between, like New Mexico, I don't think we had nobody from New Mexico. A couple from Colorado, and that was about it.
Wow.
We all got the same stuff. You know.
Yeah.
It was no big deal. When you put them in a blue blazer and a tie, you couldn't tell any difference. You know.
Could you tell me a little bit about your sister's life here and how hers differed from yours?
Well, pretty much. I mean, she's small, four years younger than I am, and she went to Bishop School in California, and then she went to Wickenburg to 8 years, and then she went to Bishop's, and that's San Diego, and then when she got out of that, she decided to go to a school in Upper State New York, Eisenhower College was a brand new school, and it went out of business several years ago. It didn't make it for some reason, and she met her husband up there, and they stayed in Boston for several years after that, and then finally came back to the Valley and down to Tucson, and now she has mom's old house on the place here. So, lost her husband a couple of years ago, unfortunately.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So she when she went to school, it was the same thing. You guys got rides,
right?
You know, whatever.
Right.
And also because you had enough staff, it wasn't so much like the kids have to help like run the ranch kind of a thing.
No, it was. I mean, you know, we had 40 rooms. It's not like a little dude ranch. Mm-hmm. No, Dad would always say, you know, of course I was when I could do anything, it was time for me to go back to school, so I wasn't around. But right after college, I had some jobs. I was trying to help Mom all the time. Excuse me. Let me get rid of this thing. Yeah, I'll have to. Hey, I'm right in the middle of something. Can I call you back? All right. See you. You know, everybody's, if it was a smaller ranch, probably would, although the Wellish had two kids, and other than Wendy used to ride a lot, but I don't think either one of them worked either. I mean, they'll help out when you had some problems, but I didn't have a real job every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry about that.
Oh, no, sorry.
Everybody's trying to, yeah, we should be doing that. Well, didn't work out that way.
Well, what it sounds to me is that you had a very typical childhood
right.
in a very unusual place.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. When did you learn to ride? How old were you?
Oh, good Lord, they put me on a horse when probably was less, I mean, before school. But, you know, it didn't take, Len. You would think it would be everybody's dream to be on horseback, you know, and I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents made sure that I got a horse when I was old enough. It was just wasted on me.
Huh.
I still like to ride, mm-hmm. and I still like the West and the cowboys and that way of life, the history and the heritage. But, you know, I went to the D.C. I was on that for, you know, went on 40 years on that. And then I said, I've seen all the country. I've heard all the jokes. And all the guys I went to are not going anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's enough. I'm still on the board and trying to help them out. But like I said, I like horses, but it was not a passion for me.
Huh. The D.C. is the Desert Caballeros
right.
annual ride.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And my sister was even less than me. Yeah.
How interesting.
I guess when you grow up with them, it's no big deal. You know, it's just like taxis or something. You know, it's... You know, it's a lot of work to keep the horses and keep them running. And I guess I, you know, got in the middle of that. I mean, I used to go down and help, you know, shovel shit and do all, you know, with the hay. But it was just a kind of a game, you know. And of course, the cowboys would get after you all the time. That was always fun. That's where I got used to getting in bad time. So when I get back to school, it was no big deal. I was always getting in bad time for the cowboys here.
Oh, tell me.
Well, I mean, you know, there's, you know, well, I can't come up with a really good story or two, but you know, they're always say, well, come on, you'll rut, you know, you can do better than that, and that was a good thing. It was a good thing.
So the cowboys and the wranglers felt comfortable teasing the owner's son.
Sure. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh,
that was no big deal. I was just another kid.
Early on, did you get the kind of customers that would come and stay for weeks at a time
yes.
or a whole season?
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, we had several that would stay for more than a month. And that was not unusual. Of course, in the old days, and you remember, they had to come from on the train and get off at Ashport, come down to Wickenburg. We'd pick them up, and they sent all their stuff ahead of time in a trunk, Railway Express, you know. And when you do all that, you have to stay for a while. And, of course, we opened in the 40s, and probably by the 50s, everybody was flying. But a whole bunch of them was still coming on the train. We had two trains a day through Wickenburg, one going south, one going north. So we pick them up in the morning, and they put them on the train in the afternoon. And, of course, the super sheet would go from L.A. to Chicago, and they would meet the chief up there at Asphalt. I mean, all this Ashford, just west of Williams.
Oh, that's where the super chief went through.
Right.
Oh.
You see, that was the main line for Santa Fe, and this is just a spur that comes down and stops at Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Now, there's another, you know, the Southern Pacific would come from El Paso, Tucson, Phoenix, and go over to San Diego. But, you know, we'd have too many customers in that part of the world, so everybody came from the Santa Fe. Of course, now that's Burlington turned more northern now, but anyway, it was Santa Fe forever and ever.
Huh. And then probably maybe later in the 50s, certainly the 60s, everybody was driving. You know, the highways
probably less than half. Most of them flew or came with train.
Many people flew.
Oh,
yeah. Interesting. Would they fly to Wellick Field? Or they fly to Phoenix and then...
Right, we'd pick them up.
We'd pick them up at the airport.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We always had to do that. That was a big thing. That's why all those vans are sitting down there. Of course, now we keep the old ones to use them around here. But we always had at least two cars, and they were on the road a lot.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. What kind of... Tell me, maybe contrast from the early days to today, you know, how things have changed for what you offer your guests in terms of, you know the rides or the cookouts or things like that.
Know, the stuff we used to do is still popular. You know, the riding is still very popular. In those days, we used to have about 40 or 50 horses. Now we have about 80. And the kids still love it, and a lot of people still like the horses. Of course, the golf is a big thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys, a lot of the men still like to play golf. And tennis is up and down. We still have four courts here, and that's plenty. Cookouts are, we still do them, you know, breakfast, noon, and night. And we get a lot of people like that. Of course, we have new things like the spa. And we have skeet shooting or trap shooting. And Dad got that idea from ABRA. They had a range up there. And he loved that. And so the next year he came down and built one down here. And he used to take everybody out himself. And then I took that over later. And now I got somebody else to do it. But that's a lot of people like to shoot, I guess, because they... Wherever they are, they're not used to seeing guns or handle them, so they can do it pretty safely here. Mm-hmm. And of course, even the gals a lot of like that now. The main thing is now people come in for 2-3 days at the 10 days is a long time. Mm-hmm. Now we have a couple families that stay for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but that's. But, you know, and right now, you know, the weekend is king, you know.
Yeah. Why do you think people were able to stay for so long in the early days? Was it just were they wealthier people, do you think, and they could take more time?
Yeah, right. And a bunch of those were retired or almost retired or, you know, if they had a business, they had somebody to run it and they can take off. You know, like everybody going to Florida and the East, you know, the same deal over here. And you talk to the resorts in Florida, and they'll tell you the same thing. You used to come for all summer, or all week, all winter. You know, now it's a little pricier, but of course, now they want to bring the kids. They want to do everything in 2 days. And I always say, I've been watching people for most of my life. I said it takes 3 days to adjust to where you are. So you can wind down and enjoy yourself. And, of course, in 2 days or 3 days, they're gone. And, of course, I think it's you don't get much rest. You get to do some different things, but you don't. Before, it was just kind of hanging out and chilling, as they say now. But that's not enough. Everybody has to do, you know, the Jeep tours, you know, ATV tours, all that kind of stuff.
I wonder if... I think it's just our cultural moment, is that people think the vacations, they have to fill up their vacations because they work so much, and they don't understand that that rest, that contemplation, especially in such a beautiful place,
right,
can be, you know, even better for them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for years and years, we didn't have any phones or TVs here. And then as more of our customers used to be group customers, you couldn't get around, you couldn't get away with that. Mm-hmm. We put phones in, and then they hated to put the TVs in, but we had to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you don't, and of course, everybody said, we don't want to do that. I said, if you don't like it, we'll take it out. It's no big deal. And everybody has never has said to take them out. Never.
Yeah.
Of course, now everything's on this thing, you know. Yeah.
You got the wireless.
Right.
You got the Wi-Fi.
No. Damn it. And most of people are pretty good on that, but sometimes, you know, they've got by the phone. We're trying to be very peaceful here, everybody quiet so they can enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what we're all about anyway. Some people, they don't know they want that, but
Go
ahead.
What do you think is the appeal of a dude ranch for people? Even if you look, say, in the early years and maybe compared to today, is it the same?
Well, it's a climate. It's nice and warm, and it's dry, and nice vistas. I mean, you look every way around, and it's always a nice-looking country. And I don't think that has changed. I mean, you go up in the bar up there and watch the sunset on the mountains up there. If that doesn't move you, you're not in touch. But, you know, the new kids, you know, they know how to do that. But now, in the old days, no kids would come. I mean, they used to come with their families, but they, when they're 20s and 30s, they didn't have money to travel like this. But everything has changed. And so we're trying to keep up with the flow, I guess, and we're set up to people to stay at least a week here. But now they want to stay about 2 or 3 days, and sometimes they don't get it in 2 days. But everybody seems to have a good time. They always like what we're doing here, and they say, we'll be back, we'll be back. But, you know, it's just a little bit different, I guess. I guess the main thing is younger people have more money and they have more places to go easier. You can fly any place for a weekend now. Before, it was, you had to have a whole bunch of money and you stay for a month, you know, but it was, like I said, it's just different. And those people, some of them didn't ride or play golf. They just hang out. You know, they sit in the sun a little bit and wake up, you know, read the paper or... And that was plenty. But, yeah, now, like I said, everything's different.
Sounds good to me.
Right. I thought too. But yeah, the good thing about being a patient, you don't have any chores to do. You don't have to worry about your house. There's always something to do when you have a home. And now we're supposed to take care of all that stuff for you, so you don't have to do anything. At least that's the idea.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing well. Now, you've had some... famous folks stay here over the years. Can you talk about some of them?
Yeah, you know, not that many. Everybody wants to hear about who's been here. And when I was a kid, the only one I remember was Hopalong Cassidy came.
Really?
Yeah, and of course I was going to school. You know, I was about 6 years old or seven, and it had a black Cadillac with a leopard interior in it. And by the time we went to school, I don't think I got to meet him, but Dad did. I have a picture of him say hi, you know, to Satan's Land. He came in late at night, and he was on his way to California, or he's coming the other place anyway. But that's what everybody wants to hear about. But, you know, we had, really not. I mean... who was I thinking the other day? A couple years ago. God damn it! I just saw a movie with him in it when he was so young. Jesus Christ!
You'll think of it.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. But at, it'll come here in a minute. I guess we're not high enough profile to get those kind of people. And they're a pain in the butt, most of them.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to hear about them.
Of course. Hasn't Sandra Day O'Connor been here?
Yes, she's been here for several times. Yeah. I've met her. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was hard for me to do it, but I had to go over and say, I'm rushing with the ranch. We're glad to have you. And I've always been an admirer of yours, and I'm glad to have you on the place. But she had some family here, staying here, and she would come up and have lunch with them when they were here. And she stayed here a couple times, but it was, what a nice lady she was.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I think I may have told you, you know, I used to work for Levi Strauss & Company. I retired a couple years ago, and the Haas family owns Levi's, and Bob Haas, who's the former CEO, and his wife were here in the 60s.
Right.
And he told me, when I first was telling him I was coming to Wickenburg, he told me what a wonderful time they had here. He remembers this place very
really?
Well.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Well, tell him we need to visit. Come on, come back, come back.
Okay.
No, I was thinking about a friend of mine who used to work for Levi's in San Francisco. Her name was Tris Zoning was her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's a couple years than me, younger than me. She's do HR for them up at the office.
I started there in 89.
Really?
So.
No, she was there, yeah.
Oh.
Right up in the 80s.
I probably knew her face.
Right, yeah. tall, nice-looking gal with dark hair.
Huh.
Chris, I can't remember her name at that time, but her maiden name was Zoni.
Hmm.
What the hell was her Mary name at that time? Doesn't make any difference, yeah.
How much did your folks interact with the other dude ranch owners in town? Were there joint organizations?
We used to. They call it the DSRA, Desert Sun Ranchers Association, and it was a kind of a club, but it's actually a committee where all the dead ranchers would get together. We'd do sword dances together. You know, they come over here. And then we have rodeos together. We take all our people to another place over there, and then the next time they'd come over here. And we had, entertainment together. It was a big deal.
Was there a sense that you knew you were all sort of in competition, and yet, a rising tide lifts all boats?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It was good because you get some of their customers to see your place, and you always got more than you lost. So it was all, it all works.
Yeah.
You know, we're on the same business. We're trying to promote Wickenburg instead of Tucson or Stocksdale or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So we all get together. We do joint ads and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Kind of like the Chamber of Trump. Commerce, that's what it was, really.
Huh.
Of course, in those days, there was more of them, so it works a little bit better, but now we're...
Yeah. Why do you think there are so few left now?
Because of the size things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they do the best they can, and I can see what they're talking about now, because we're up, 80 rooms is not enough for us.
Yeah.
We should have at least 100 or 120. Yeah, but like I said, I don't know if I want to risk what we've been doing to make it bigger. And I kind of like the way it is. The good thing is we don't owe anybody, and we can kind of do what we want. But I hate to see it go downhill one way or the other. And so I don't know. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do from here, I guess.
When you step away, do you have another generation ready to take it on? Wow.
I got two nephews is all, and one of them's in New York. He has no interest in coming back west.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, he couldn't handle it. He has a job in Seattle now. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll have to sell it or give it away, I guess.
Huh. How do you feel about that?
Not too good. Yeah, I'm never married, so I have no kids. And, course, we've got a whole bunch of homeowners that they got more money invested in this area than we do now because some of those big houses. And so they have a stake in it. So it'll be okay. Hopefully, it'll take a nice. Hopefully, somebody will take care of it if it's not me.
Tell me a little bit about how those houses. How did you decide to have like houses here on your property?
You know, that was a dad's idea back in the '60s before he passed away. It was to have a golf course and more houses and more rooms and make it all. Just, well, kind of like they do now, there's resorts, you know, they have resort with condos and other houses and a couple of golf courses, whatever makes, to make, and sometimes commercial areas as well. And that was the beginning of that. Of course, that was early 60s. And he laid out, 21 lots over there, and he had a layout for the golf course, but we didn't do that. And Mom says, "I don't want to mess with that." So she shut that part down. But she did do the lots, and most of those are people that used to come here to the ranch. They liked it, so they'd like to have a home here. So they retired here, and I say 2/3 of those are people that came from the ranch.
Wow!
Of course, you know you get all these nice quality people and they like the area. It's easy to sell them abroad a lot, but you know, then it I did that was unit one, number two, and number three. We've already done that, but you know, you sell part of your soul with each piece of land. And I said, I didn't like that as well because when it's gone, it's gone, and now you got neighbors telling you what to do. And anyway, it's a good thing to get the money, but you pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm not a developer, I guess. I've done it, and I can know how to do it, but I don't want to do any more. If I'm going to sell the place, we have to have some land left for the next guy. There's no reason to buy an old resort.
New dude ranches being built throughout the West, do you know? Is it
not that I know of. There are a whole bunch of resorts, and some of them have horses and some of them don't, but most of them, horses is a pain in the butt. I mean, we know how to do it, but for somebody that doesn't know about horses, it's a real headache to get the right people and get it right. And they have a place to ride, and of course, we still do, but the new places are closer into town because it's easier to sell. But there's no place to ride. Now you have to put them in a van and take them 20 miles out and to another riding facility. So it's hard to do it.
Do you think that a traditional dude ranch is going to go the way of the resort in the future? Do you think there's always going to be a place for the more traditional stuff?
As long as there's some people that want to run them, it's kind of like a family restaurant. You know, you can do okay. You work your butt off, and well, that kind of you can always make some more money doing something else. So you have to do. You have to like what you're doing. That's the only reason to keep going. And there's some people that want to put up with it. There'll be some more, but I don't know if anybody's going to build it to make any money out of it.
Mm-hmm. It has to be the labor of love kind of thing,
right.
I imagine.
You know, and a little place like this, you can't have managers and this and that. You have to do all this stuff yourself. And when it gets too old, too big for you to do it yourself, then you have to be bigger to pay for all your staff. I don't know if I want to do that. We're right there now.
Yeah.
Right there.
Do you think that the aspect of the West that's represented in the dude ranch is still going to be of interest? Do you see that in the people that come here, maybe the younger people?
It's hard to tell. It really is.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to try the horses, but a lot of them just want to play golf and see the sun. And, you know, they'd probably rather have a bigger cool and all that kind of stuff rather. It'll be interesting because you're up against some really stiff competition for those dollars. And of course, some people like, you know, the bigger resorts with more things. But the Good Ranch, it was always a family. And we said, okay, now today we're going to do this. We have this to do. In a resort, well, we have this and this and this and this and this and this. You can do nothing or whatever. But, you know, when we have a cookout, everybody went. And ride, you know, the ride goes up at 10 o'clock and 2:30. If you're going to ride, that's where you're going to ride. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes say they want to sleep in and have an hour ride at 11 o'clock. Well, we're not doing that yet, but we're headed that way. You know, it'll be interesting, Lynn, because it's Arizona is a nice place to be in the summertime, especially if you're in Chicago or Indiana or even New York or Boston or someplace. But, you know, Florida is a lot easier to get to, and a lot of people like the water and the beach, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. But we have the West and horses. And for your kids, I've always said we survived on the horses and the kids. Mm-hmm. And now we have something else for Dad to do when the kids are having on the horses. Is that enough? I don't know. I'll let you know. Stay tuned.
Okay. Well, we're both Westerners, and I think you and I can see the appeal.
Right.
And, you know, I'd pick the desert over the beach any day myself.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. But
not everybody else.
No.
And they always say, okay, Rusty, well, you have some time off in the summertime. Where do you go? And I said, I have family in California, which I loved over there. I don't want to live there. But I love to visit, and other than that, I go up to Wyoming and Colorado. I love the country up there, but never the Southeast other than to see it. I don't want Florida. I've been there several times. There's nothing for me there. It's flat, humid, and too many people.
Alligators.
Right? Well, we have snakes here, so that doesn't bother me, but. There's no reason for me to be there.
Yeah.
I'd rather do it in the summertime or go up to California, Colorado and see the mountains and some of that country all the way up into Canada. That was my thing.
Well, stay tuned indeed.
Right.
I think that'll do it. Is there anything else I haven't asked you that you want to talk about? I know. I had one more question.
Okay.
Did you have rodeos here?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to have rodeos in the beginning. Of course, Wickenburg was a lot of people that did rodeos in the summertime. That was the season. And they would look for jobs in the wintertime at the dune ranches because they could do horses and all that stuff. And, of course, a bunch of them could rope and ride. And we would get some stock and get them together. Of course, the other good ranches, they would put in, you know, some of the money. But that kind of petered out pretty quickly in the 50s. Mm. We used to have calf roping and some kind of rock riding. Of course, now we have little things for the guests so they don't hurt themselves. Now we have it team penning, which is a big, everybody likes that.
Tell me about team penning. What's that?
Well, if you go down the corral, you'll see a little tent pen in the middle of the arena, and we have about 8 steers, and of course the idea is that they put them down on the east side of the corral, and then you have teams up to 3 to 6 maybe, and one of them is a wrangler, and they go down and cut them out. The idea is to get one or two or four into the pen as soon as you can. And, of course, sometimes the cattle are interested in going there because they know where they're going. They do it all every year, every week. And sometimes they don't want to go. And it's kind of interesting to see how they can have to move for their horses and ride a little bit. But we don't let them run. They have to be trotting or walking. And, of course, you listen to the wrangler who tell you what to do. And it's kind of fun. It's under time. And they compete with the other teams. And of course, a whole family will get together for another, and they'll try to beat the other families. Or although all the girls will get together for the guys, you know, or it's good fun, and nobody gets hurt. The old days we used to have state races, you know, you go down and go around the stakes and come back, and they have relay races or foot races. Either go down and you have to run, you get down to the end, get off your horse, and lean them back. And so there we have three or four events. We used to call them rodeos, but really they're gymkhanas is really what they are.
Okay.
But everybody likes rodeos better than you, so, you know. But, you know, it's they have a good time, and the idea is to have them a good time on horses so they don't hurt themselves. And sometimes the horses don't understand, so they don't care who's on them or what we're doing. If we're in a bad mood, too bad.
Why I don't ride.
Oh, horses are fine. they're 1,200 pounds with a 4-inch brain, 4-ounce brain that thinks everything moves is going to eat him. You know, you have to pay attention.
It's the best description of a horse I ever heard.
Right.
Another question I just thought of. Your wranglers.
Right.
What is the average age of the wranglers that you have? And is there a new crop of, like, men who train to do that?
There's lots of people that like horses and have a back. We have no problem getting wranglers. Getting good ones is always a problem. But there's so many ranches in the summertime, like Wyoming and Colorado and Montana, and those guys, the kids get started on those big ranches in the summertime, and they're looking for a job in the wintertime. So, but usually they start up there. They work at the ranch for, maybe they're just dishwashers or something. Mm-hmm. But they learn about horses, and of course they think they know everything by the time they get here, and they usually don't. My wranglers are usually I like them a little bit older. They've been there. They still want to do that when they're 40s and 50s, they're usually pretty good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're kind of they're going to stay with that business for a while. And, of course, for the cowboys, you know, they think they're better than everybody else because they're cowboys. And that's okay. I mean, that's always been that way. And everybody gets a kick out of it if you do it right. And everybody has a pretty good time. But we got some really nice staff this year down at the corrals.
Oh, that's great.
But we always say, you have to wear a hat, long sleeve shirt, and boots. No bald caps, no t-shirts, you have to look the part. Because that's what people come to see. They don't want to see a guy in a tank top with a bald shirt on. And that's what they do in the summer. They see a bunch of, why in the hell they let them do that? But anyway, whatever.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, you're selling the sizzle as much as the steak. And that's what they want to see.
That makes sense. And with that, if you don't have anything else that I might have left out?
You know, when you brought, you come up with questions, I'll have some answers, but that's all I can think of right now.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
So now this is going to go to the museum because of the Dude Ranch history in Wickenburg,
It's the general history of Wickenburg.
Okay.